Welcome to the Thyroid Fixer podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Amy, and we're diving deep into the world of hormones, especially for all you fierce women in perimenopause and menopause, and everyone struggling with hypothyroidism. So if you are battling weight gain, you're feeling like shedding those pounds is an impossible feat. If you're dealing with plummeting energy levels, gut-wrenching fatigue, or a libido that seems to have left town, then you're in the right place. And let's not even start on the hair loss. If these symptoms are sounding all too familiar, you have found your tribe. My goal is to educate, empower, and shake up your world. Remember, I want you to embrace every inch of that badass woman that you truly are. So if you're ready to dive in and fix things, let's go. Are you finally at your wit's end where you are tired of dealing with doctor after doctor? Maybe you've spent thousands on integrative or functional practitioners that have not helped you at all because they don't know the thyroid and hormones. They're not even testing properly. So come work with myself and my team. We prescribe to all 50 states and parts of Canada. I have you covered. I've been building this team for years so that I could help you no matter where you are. All you have to do is click the link in the show notes, book a free application call. We're going to go over your current health situation, what worked, what hasn't worked, all the things. And then we will pair you up with the right program for you where we will do it all. You will come out the other side of the program, totally optimized, getting your life back. You're going to recognize the person you see in the mirror again. Doesn't that sound absolutely amazing? Well, it might sound like you don't even believe it, but I promise you, we will take good care of you. So click the link in the show notes, book a call today, and we'll be talking to you soon. Lisa Maximus, okay. So my audience knows I interviewed your husband a while back. We had some real conversation right there. I mean, he was dropping some major, major bombs that were really impactful to my audience. But now it's time awesome. To bring in his better half, which is you, who, you've been in the health, the fitness space for so long. You've competed, you've brought your body took your body to the limits. You've done powerlifting, which is near and dear to my heart as well. I watch you on IG and I'm like, oh damn, I miss deadlifting so much. I just want to get back so into fun. It. So maybe you'll inspire me to do that. But, for the purpose of our conversation today, you've had your own health challenges that you've had to work through. To look at you, you would never think it. I mean, you are built like a brick shit house, but this is proof positive that what we present to the world on the outside is not always what's going on the inside. And you've worked through a lot of your own health struggles, and we've kind of figured it out through, looking at your labs and us working together. So I want to start there before we move into all the juicy content for the audience. We're going to talk nutrition. We're going to talk training. Ladies, you just need to listen to this. But I want you to hear Lisa's very powerful health story as well. So Lisa, first, thanks for jumping on. Second, let's dive into where you were at when we first met health-wise.
Please, I am dying to share this side of my health journey. Again, thanks to you who changed my life. And I'm a very, very, very big fan of everything that you do. And you have helped me literally change my life. When we met, I was sitting on the floor of my kitchen, throwing Tupperware, crying to my husband, saying, I can't do this anymore. Oh my God, I don't know. When we talk about helpless, I was helpless. I didn't know what to do, which way to turn. I've struggled my whole life with chronic migraines and stomach issues. And, throughout the years, the ebbs and flows with it, right? But when I say chronic migraines, I was getting like 19 to 20 a month. And then stomach stuff I just have a massively upset stomach, couldn't tolerate much food. Like again, eating was like Russian roulette is what I called it. I never knew when it would set me off. And I had, eating disorder stuff because I was literally afraid of food. I mean, one is image stuff. As a female, I think a lot of us deal with that, but every time I would eat, I would start noticing that my shoulders would go into my earlobes because I never knew what was going to happen. I'm like, I may get sick. I may not get sick. I didn't know. I never knew. I didn't know what my issue was. And so that is when I got diagnosed with gastroparesis. That's what my gastroenterologist was like, oh, you have SIBO. We'll treat that. So he gave me Xifaxan and told me that I will be on Xifaxan as needed forever. I can take it whenever I feel like it. This is an antibiotic. So I just take that as my SIBO reoccurs. So I just have reoccurring SIBO, and then I have gastroparesis. And so he put me on medication for my gastroparesis, which again, if anyone has ever been on something like Motegrity or things like that, you know how lovely that can be. I'm like, this is just so fun. And I just was, it didn't make me feel any better. So every day it was just like gas and bloating and the distension, and I was miserable. And as an athlete, as a mom, right, as someone who's working, I'm work full time,
right,
to deal with the ebbs and flows midday, I would get SIBO fog, couldn't think, couldn't function. My stomach would get super distended, gas and bloating, and I would be like in bed, and I would like pass out for 20 or 30 minutes and then wake back up and things would settle down. Then it's time to eat again. I didn't want to eat. And I'm also an athlete. So I'm like, I can't not be eating. So anyway, like I said, sitting on the floor crying, like I can't do this anymore. I don't know what to do. And that is when I started turning to getting my blood work done. And I'm like, all right, let's figure out what else is going on. My doctors who've all read my blood work telling me that I am fine. There have no issues. Thank you, Dr. Amy. Thank God I met you. Went through my blood work and was like, hey, you have thyroid stuff. And at that point, I will be very, very transparent. I was like, doesn't everyone have Hashimoto? Like, isn't this the new thing? I had a girlfriend who just got diagnosed with it. I'm like, you know, is this the new just hot topic? Like, really, right. Do I really
blame it on the thyroid? Like the cool thing? Right.
Yeah. Like, is this really just like, you know, and then again, the more you learn, the more you realize like, you know, how much stuff we've done with birth control and our past and all that. And, you know, how we're all just out of whack. Mm-hmm. So long story short, get on my thyroid medication. Guess who doesn't have gastroparesis? Oh, interesting. So I had no motility in my gut to the point where I had no movement. So everything that I would eat would sit and ferment and would cause like gas and bloating and overgrowth of bacteria because nothing would move through my gut. So if one more person told me to eat fiber or take probiotics, I could scream. Yes. I was like, as if you think I haven't done every like shot of apple cider vinegar, every single, I was spending like $90 on that VSL3, which is a very heavy probiotic. I tried literally everything and just nothing worked. Food intolerance test, take a food intolerance test. I'm like, of course I have. I've done it all. I've done endoscopy, colonoscopy. Anyway, to all think that everything is from my thyroid. And so once I started regulating that, I didn't have the midday brain fog. I didn't have, fatigue. I didn't have the brain fog. I started having regular bowel movements, which allowed me to eat the appropriate amount for my body, hydrate, which I didn't realize that I had a really hard time tolerating water. And now I'm actually able to drink twice as much water. So I'm like, I'm hydrated and I can fuel for my workouts better. So in turn, my body has changed. So aesthetically, I've like never been in a better place. Emotionally, I've never been. I'm sleeping, right? Yep. I'm eating, I'm sleeping. My rhythms are back on core because I don't have the energy shifts. I can go all day and sleep at night. And so I am now PRing all my lifts and training. I'm recovering like a champ. I feel great. I'm mothering I'm patient with my children. Because when your gut is irritated, you're agitated. Like you're annoyed because you're in chronic pain. Yeah. Oh, and yes, it doesn't have chronic migraines anymore.
Nice. So, oh my God, I love
it. I got my implants removed. So I am an explant person. Mm-hmm. That reduced them by more than half. And then when I started thyroid treatment, I get a migraine once every 3 months, maybe.
Oh, so nice. Yeah. That is so nice.
And they're getting more and more infrequent. Like the longer I've been on treatment, the better that is all going. So when I tell you changed my life, and I have to share this with anyone who's listening. My doctors still don't know how to read my blood work. So like I had to seek out additional help. So Amy, right. Like I had to use you to help me figure out how to read my blood work, how to advocate for myself to get care. Like this is not something that I still went to my general doctor like to this day, and they won't prescribe me anything for my thyroid. They want me off of it. Actually, one of my internists, I told them that I switched to an internist, that I was on thyroid, and she was so convinced that I shouldn't be, that I talked to an endocrinologist. Do you want to know what the endocrinologist told me?
Oh, please.
She said, so she reads my blood work. She goes, you definitely have a thyroid issue. Like, thanks. I could have told you that. If you were even based on my symptoms. She goes, but you may have had thyroid 6 syndrome because of your SIBO. So what we need to do is take you off all your medication for 3 months and then retest everything. And I said, well, what about the fact that like my antibodies are up and all that is, are all those markers for Hashi's is really high. She goes, well, that means that you're more likely to have thyroid disease, but you may not currently have thyroid disease. So we need to take you off all your medication and then for months and then retest you a few times to make sure that you're being treated the right way.
God.
I was like, or I could keep doing what I'm doing and you can leave me alone. Like, why would I, if I come into your office and tell you I've never been better, every issue that's in my chart is resolved.
Right.
And you're like, well, it could be a falsely.
Yeah, maybe you don't feel
reading
as good
your blood
as, No, you're really sick. You don't actually feel as good as you do. Like, oh my God. But yet
she's like, well, your blood work shows that you need to, you have a thyroid problem.
Right.
But like, let's actually instead just take you off everything, retest you a couple more times. So like, just triple check that. Just triple, quadruple, make sure that we have like 6 tests that show that you need treatment.
Yeah. I mean, why not waste another 3 to 6 months of your life? I mean, you have that.
That sounds great.
Right. I mean, your family doesn't need you or anything. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I have no like lifting competitions. I don't have I just don't have any like life, you know, going on. Let's just restart everything anyway. So thank goodness for people like you who are, you know, enlightened and understand how to
treat people. Well, I want to piggyback on some of your story though, too, because I say this all the time, and it's very interesting that you went through the very thing that I always talk about. And actually, I specifically use gut because everybody seems to have some gut healing protocol out there that is going to, you know, 10X your business and give you the best life ever. You know, I mean, but it's not. If you have a thyroid problem, you can do, like you said, all the treatments for the gut. You can get an endoscopy, you can get a colonoscopy, you can get the viscoscopy and do thousands of dollars worth of supplements, and you're just going to be throwing money down the toilet and you're going to be wasting more time of your life that, hey, we only have a set amount of time on this earth. Better use it wisely, right? Better feel your best. And here we are. It was your thyroid. And I say that all the time. The thyroid is the master gland. Most conventional doctors don't realize that. Now we need to get the general population to at least realize that so that they can be an advocate for themselves saying, you know what, maybe I don't need the gastroparesis medication and the $10,000 in supplements and your gut healing protocols. Maybe I just need to fix my thyroid.
But that's the crazy part is you start to feel crazy as the patient, right? Where I'm like, all right, because I'm switching. I just kept switching doctors where I'm like, okay, this general doctor isn't, because one of them just looked at me without looking at my paperwork. This is like, I came to you. This happened before you and I even spoke, where he looked at me and was like, you don't have a problem with your thyroid. By looking at me, you're telling me that I don't have a that's not a diagnosis. And that tells you not, looking at me tells you nothing. So I don't understand. I'm like, here's my paperwork. You know, like, what are you doing? But my point is I had to leave him, see a new internist who also had no idea what she was doing. I mean, I have had to switch doctors multiple times.
Yeah.
And I felt like a crazy person. I'm like, so I just want to shout to anyone who's going through this. If you are not crazy, crazy to continue searching and looking for, and continue advocating for yourself. Like it is that hard and it shouldn't be, but it is that hard.
It just is reality. We have to deal with reality. So let's put it on the table. It is that hard, but it shouldn't be, but keep going. I mean, just what you're saying.
Keep going. Yeah.
So now that you're feeling better, well, even before that, you've been helping women for decades now. And really with your level of expertise, your knowledge, and that's what makes it a little bit even more interesting of the health condition and the health situation that you were in, because you know what to do. You know how to train. You know how to eat. You were doing all the things and you still got hit with symptoms. So now not only can you take your, we'll say, pre-thyroid problem knowledge, combine it with your current post, but yet optimized thyroid knowledge, and really help a large amount of women from a variety of different training backgrounds and training places they are in their life, nutrition places they are in their life, and really help them get to that next level, which I love. I absolutely love. So how'd you get into this? How'd you get into the training aspect of other people, developing programs, developing strength programs? How did that come about?
So it's funny. It's an interesting question. So when I started training and working out and getting into all this, it replaced horseback riding. I started riding horses and I needed to fill that void after. And so that's when I got fitness. And I've gone through different modalities. So from kettlebell, you know, I did that for 4 years. I could touch nothing but a kettlebell. Then I got into a little bit of barbell work, body weight work. And then I met Bobby. And so and Bobby Maximus, if anyone out there follows him, he is a savage. And he is, again, a wealth of knowledge. And so I started getting hammered with IWTs and that cross training type of thing.
Yeah.
So I became really hellbent into that and threw myself in really hard until I got pregnant. And it was like, all right, that's not the training you're doing when you're pregnant. You're not rowing a 2K per time.
Right.
And so, yes. And that is when I fell in love with lifting. So I've always wanted a 300-pound deadlift. I didn't know anyone who could do it. And so I really want, that was my big goal, was 300 pounds. And so that's when I started. So postpartum, I had milk supply issues. And so they said to kind of lean away from the intense cardio, especially that interval, the cardio intervals, because milk supply, so I wasn't a great supplier. So I did. And I was like, all right, can I just lift? It's like, yeah, you can. And it's called powerlifting. It's a sport. And I was like, all right, cool. I'm in love. And I went to Westside Barbell. Bobby went out there for a podcast since I met all those guys. And I really dove headfirst into it. And that is when anecdotally I learned a lot. So I was, again, learning through Bobby, getting certifications, Westside certified, strength and conditioning certified. And the more I started learning, and when I was at Jim Jones, I was really curious about the differences between men and women in the gym, because we're different. Mm-hmm. And so, and then not in people, ways people think, where it's like women need to be doing fucking booty bands and, you know, no body weight hip thrusters. Okay. I'm not talking about different like that. I'm just talking more about hormonally, right? Where it's like, first of all, when my joke about booty bands and non-weighted hip thrusters is women need to be lifting weights.
Right.
We need to be training the same way that men do, as far as, again, lifting in the gym. But we do have differences in muscle fiber types, like type 1, type 2 up top and type 1, type 2 down below, differences in men and women, where we're really good at certain things and men are really good at certain things. So I put together a seminar about the differences in men and women in the gym and fitness, and from psychological to, you know, physiological, just how we're different through the menstrual cycle, pre and post menopause, and how training impacts longevity, from, you know, bone health to hormonal health to all that stuff. That is really where my passion, you know, lies. And so anecdotally going through these different phases, right, from being like kind of more of a CrossFit cardiovascular athlete into floating into a strength athlete, I've really figured out, and I'm really, really passionate about building the body in the way of, in my opinion, of being strong for longevity, right? And also health, your health. So what I do as far as like competing with powerlifting, I'm like, don't, that's not where I want my clients to be. I'm like, I am pushing, like you said, the upper end of what your body is capable of.
Right.
But when it comes to strength and conditioning through life and hormone health, right, when it comes to pre and post menopause and bone and having muscle mass on your frame, from your metabolism to, again, longevity, is essential. And so, I'm an anti-band person. I do banded work for tendon and ligament health, but we do not do that to build muscle. But getting women to lift in the gym and feel confident and comfortable, and also what works for our bodies. Mm-hmm. So that is where I've really just fallen in love with this place of wanting to help women feel, again, I feel like a lot of women shy away from lifting heavy. And I'm not sure, have we debunked that women are going to get bulky?
You know, I try. Yet,
or are we still there? We're still there.
I don't know. I talk about it a lot on the show. I've said it enough, but I don't think that we can say it enough, because I think that that is still running through some women's minds out there. So go ahead.
I agree. I think it's funny, because I talk to you, or I talk to, you know, any woman in the fitness space. It's like, oh yeah, yeah. Back in the day when we thought that weights would make us bulky. Right, that women have this fear of like, oops, I tripped and fell into the gym 3 times a week and I'm going to look like a man.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, that's just not, again, we cannot. And let me ask you, how long have you been trying to get huge? Like, I mean, how many reps and sets and how many things have you been eating and timing, meal timing? It's like, to just get like a quarter of a half of an inch on your biceps, you know what I mean? Like, or your shoulders, God, or your quads. It's
so
like,
much.
Dear God. Yeah. And so, I mean, we push it like again, someone who understands, for anyone out there who's listening, it doesn't, women cannot just get shredded, jacked, big. We don't have the testosterone. We don't have the hormonal makeup, the biological makeup to do that. So we're never going to get there. And also the amount of training, it's like almost an insult to bodybuilders, to these people that you say you don't want to look like, which, I mean, there's very few, you know, women who are bodybuilders who I would say like, you know, oh, I wouldn't want to do that. They look awesome. You know, most of the women that are on stage, and it's like the amount of time, dedication, effort that they're doing is so above and beyond what the general person who wants to get fit and who goes to the gym is doing. So right. Like the fear that that's going to happen is just like, you know, crazy.
Well, and the amount of extra testosterone that they are taking. I mean, if you truly take,
yes.
I mean, okay, back in my day when Figure first started, I could say that probably a lot of the girls were not on steroids, or they were taking minuscule doses, whatever.
Right.
But
right.
Nowadays, I mean, one reason why I switched to powerlifting is because the Figure girls who were supposed to be just, you know, athletic and beautiful and yet muscular, they started looking like dudes. And I mean, you know that the amount of drugs that have to come in is far beyond. And listen, I'm not talking about you ladies out there taking some testosterone replacement right. to get your testosterone out of the toilet. We are talking about male hormone levels of testosterone to over months and years to get that big. So it really is like out of the equation that you're going to get big and bulky.
And even more than just testosterone, right? Like it's more than just testosterone. You're talking about like a list of drugs that are being cycled. So if you're not doing that,
you're okay.
You're not like nothing bad is going to happen to you. We promise. Like the only thing that's going to happen is you're going to look more toned, right? More lean, more shredded, more toned, whatever that word is that, you know, that women are going for. That's, you know, we want to be smaller. We want to be, you know, we want to have shape, right? We want to have shape. You want to have shoulders. You want to have, you know, lats. People think that a smaller waist, just eat less, get a little smaller waist. I'm like, how about you build some lats?
Yeah.
Build some lats and then your waist is going to look smaller, right? Like, you know, we don't need to be shrinking our waist down to thing. The whole thing is actually an optical illusion. You give yourself some lats and give yourself some booty and some quads. Mm-hmm. You're giving yourself that hourglass shape.
Yep.
And so, you know, we all want to be toned and have that muscle mass, but to put that muscle mass on for a woman is extremely difficult.
So hard.
Very, very, very difficult.
I'm always looking for the best products to partner up with to support the podcast and to give you guys really cool stuff that you can do and implement. So I recently partnered with Jasper, the world's best air purifier. And when I was thinking about what should I read for this ad, Mike, who's the founder of Jasper, emailed asking how my Jasper experience was going. So this is the exact email I sent to him. Hi, Mike. When I first plugged in my Jasper, it instantly flagged the air quality in my house was poor, showing red on its indicator. It was a bit of a shock, honestly, but within 3 hours, it worked its magic, improving the air quality to a healthy green status by removing particles from the air. What really blew me away was how it automatically amps up whenever I start cooking. I had no clue that just preparing meals could introduce so many particles into the air. And it's been enlightening and comforting to see Jasper kick into high gear to clean up as I cook. But here's the most fascinating part. After moving into our new house, my hair began turning orange, and I assumed it was the water. However, a visit from the water filtration experts unveiled that it was actually due to an airborne bacteria attracted to water and soap. Here's the kicker. Since moving Jasper closer to my bathroom and bedroom, my hair has stopped changing colors. I've ditched the harsh shampoos that I was using that just did nothing good for my hair, broke my hair. And Jasper's all I need now. It's not just an air cleaner. It's been a personal savior in ways I never expected. Just had to share this with you. Jasper has truly made a difference in my life. All the best, Dr. Amy. Mike replied to my email saying, that's the ad. Don't change a thing. And Jasper is giving an amazing, amazing discount to my listeners. So if you use the code Dr. Amy, DRAMIE, you're going to save $100 off of any Jasper. You're going to go to jasper.co. Now you can go to jasper.co/Dr. Amy, but you want to use the code Dr. Amy at checkout so you can save some money. Do it. Let me know your experience. Email me with your experience.
And so I think that it's underrated how important lifting heavy is. And when you and I started talking today, one of the biggest questions that I have for, you know, for women out there is this: why do we stop going up in weight? Why do we stop lifting?
You said that, and it is so true. I want you to break that down because it really hit me as like a, oh my God moment. You're so right. Women pick up the same damn weight, sometimes for years,
And so I've been a coach 4 years. I've been a coach since I was 20 years old. I've been doing this, you know, long time. And so when I am training women, and this happens every, you know, every time they go to the dumbbell rack, it's like a 15 pound fucking dumbbell. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, it's hard.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God. Okay. First of all, and so for anyone out there, what 15 pound dumbbell, if you're doing a bent over row with a 15 pound dumbbell, like you're using your lats, right? So you're bending over and you're pulling motion. I have worked with brand new people first day in the gym who are not fit, who can do a bent over row with a 40 pound dumbbell. They're actually the easiest people to work with because they have no concept.
Right.
I'm like, oh, grab a 30 and they'll do it. And I'm like, cool, grab a 35. And I'm like, grab a 40. They kind of were like, well, this is awkward. Like they have a hard time picking it out of like the rack because it's kind of awkward. They don't know how to like manage a dumbbell, but they have no problem rowing a 40. And people who I've been training since I was like in, you know, out of high school and 15 pound dumbbell, we're in our 30s. We're still using a 15 pound fucking dumbbell. And I'm like, why are we still using a 15 to 20 pound dumbbell? Women that train at home, they're like, oh, I have weights at home. I'm like, what do you have? This is when I first start working with people who want to strength train. Mm-hmm. I had 10s and 15s. Shit, we're going to get nothing done.
Right.
If you need to go invest in some new dumbbells, because if your legs alone, right, need to be taking 50 pounds, right, holding a 50 pound dumbbell, you're bent over rows. There's anyone out there, I guarantee you, the first time you work with me, I have a 40 pound dumbbell with a bent over row in your hand. And you'll finally get sore lats. Oh, I actually felt that where I think I was supposed to be feeling it.
Right.
Because you're stronger than you think you are. We all have this weird self-governor on that, you know, when I say the 135 pounds or you put a plate. I know people who bench press, dumbbell bench press, use a barbell, and they stack tens and tens and fives and tens and fives and fives because they can't handle looking at a plate. That they can't, like, it's like so overwhelming and so intimidating to have a larger plate on a bar, mm-hmm. that they like will stack little plates over and over again because it's intimidating. And I'm like, holy moly, like, why do we not want to do that?
Yeah.
Like, hell yeah, put a plate. Because when I started strength training, I was like, I can't wait to put a plate on the bar to bench it.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, stoked and like deadlift there. I wanted to deadlift two plates. Mm-hmm. My life goal was to deadlift three plates. I was like, I just want a death of three plates. That's so cool. You know, but
it's empowering.
The other side. It's empowering.
Yeah, it gives you confidence.
You know what? It's the only, thank you. And it is also the only thing in the gym that is visually, linearly evidence that what you're doing is doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like if you're adding weight to the bar, if you're deadlifting and you're 1 week, you're doing, you know, one plate and then 3 weeks later, you're doing a plate and a 10, and then a week, plate 10, five, you know, plate quarter 10, two plates. This is literal visual stacking of weight on the bar of you are getting stronger. You are showing up to the gym and progress is happening.
Yeah.
It's like, how empowering is that? And even being able to walk around from life, picking up your children and walking up a hill with them, how about pushing a stroller? I had my kids out today at a tulip festival. And I had both my children, 7 and 4, one of them is like 60 pounds, the other one's 50 pounds. And I'm pushing them in the stroller, walking up like a hill, like a weeby hill. And I'm like, no one else is doing that. My mom was like, do you need help? I'm like, no, I'm, you know, it's fine. You know, she's like, I'll take one side. I'm like, thanks. I appreciate you so much, mom. I'm good. But it's one of those things where that's life, right? Where we're moving, we're pushing weight, we're moving things around. And you want to be physically capable of doing that. And putting your overhead baggage in your overhead compartment, moving your furniture in your living room when you just want to change your vibe in your living room. You don't have to have someone come over and help you move your couch. I mean, those are all things as we get older, we want to be able to do. And we're all just so much more physically capable than we think we are. So much more physically capable.
Oh, I totally agree. Now, I know one question going through women's minds right now is, how much should we anticipate increasing, right? So we're not going to increase by 5 pounds every week in everything we do. Some body parts are going to be stronger. You might be able to go up by 2.5 or 5 pounds every week. Some you might go up to by 10 pounds. Some you might be at the same weight for a little while, right? Like, what do you see in working with women?
The way that I always explain it is 3 weeks. You should be using the same weight on a movement for 3 weeks until you go up. So, and I also like to do a 3 to 5 week repeat. I don't know if you've ever trained like that, where you've had the same program for 3 weeks in a row and you see if you can add weight each week or again,
husband,
at the end
I
of
had
it.
That. Yeah.
That was the best training. That was the best training blocks I've ever had in my life. Like that 3 week wave, 3 to 5 week wave, I think is great. 5 weeks, especially for someone who's new, because you're learning it. So when you're learning how to like dumbbell bench, it sucks kind of to switch too much because you're like, just the minute you're, you know, you're in rep 8 and 9, you're like, oh, this is how it's supposed to be. You know, you have the aha moments and being able to repeat it. You get to master it before moving on to something different. Training does not need to be fancy. Doesn't need to be fancy. It doesn't need to be complicated. Right. So I can't stand. One of the terrible Instagram and social media is great. One of the downfalls of it is I feel like people think there's constantly needs to be something new and fun and it needs to look really hard. And one thing that I freaking hate so much is when people combine modalities. And what I mean by that is, please stop spinning on a spin bike and doing overhead presses. I'm like, if you're going to spin, spin. If you're going to do yoga, do yoga. I'm like, I don't know why we're lifting weights doing yoga.
Right.
Do you ever really know hurt themselves in yoga? Blow their back out in yoga? More people get injured in yoga than they do in any other sport. And I'm like, now we're adding weights to yoga? Like, I don't know why. Because people just push past and coming from someone, I have a really flexible lower back and I'm not flexible by thoracic, but I'll get into like a position and my yoga instructor will push me deeper into it. I'm like, I'm just feeling more pulling in my lower back, but you're not helping me mobilize my thoracic. And so for me, like yoga should be healthy backs and like meditation and stretching. It's not like a workout class. That's not what yoga was designed as. It wasn't designed as a workout class. So I'm like, look, if you want to spin, spin, do spinning and be really good at spinning. When it comes to lifting weights, go to the gym and like lift some weights and make a lifting session and make it really effective. Lift heavy weight, like push yourself to new height. So back to, look at me going down a rabbit hole. Back to your question was repeating something is a really great thing. Because again, keep it simple, stick to the basics. You're going to lift, go and lift. Don't stand on a Bosu ball and try to do a goblet squat when your goblet squat's shitty, right?
Right.
So it's like, go to the goblet squat, give yourself 3 weeks, go up and wait a little bit each week. So if you pick up a dumbbell for the first time, let's say it's a 20 pound dumbbell and you're holding it in a goblet position, a kettlebell dumbbell, and you're doing your 10 squats, you shouldn't be using that 20 pound 3 weeks in a row. Right? Maybe 2 weeks in a row, if you're still getting your bearings and you're trying to figure out, you know, how wide your stance should be and, you know, how to engage your core, things like that. But again, after 3 weeks, you'd be doing 25 and then a 30 and stay there for 2-3 weeks and then 35 and then a 40. So you should be increasing. You will increase faster lower body than you will upper, right? So your upper body, smaller muscles. So that for me, again, when you're starting, you have so much more room to grow. And this is for anyone who has been lifting for a long time. You know that newbie gains is so fun when you're first in the gym. It's like everything's a freaking PR. Every time you train, you just get to like climb this beautiful, you know, beginner gains train, which is just a blast. So you will, but for upper body, it is a slower gain, like you were saying, 2.5. So going up 2.5 or 5 pounds more than the lower body, which you can do 5, 10 pounds faster, bigger jumps. But I love to give that 3 week range until you start getting up into that top percent of your, what we call genetic potential of what you're really physically capable of. And I really like to give everyone these little numbers. So what does that mean? What you're physically capable of? If you want to talk about a basic, this is not advanced. This is like where basic you should be as far as lifting. You should be able to squat 1.5 times your body weight. This is on a barbell, but you could, this also does apply to holding two dumbbells, holding a kettlebell, 1.5 times your body weight. You should be able to bench your body weight and you should be able to deadlift 2 times your body weight. So those are like the little lifting metrics. And when it comes to pushups and pull-ups, you should be able to do 10 strict pushups. You should be able to do at least 5 strict pull-ups. That's like a, you know, move your body. And that's like a really good, that's a really good. And again, that's not like, oh, so far off the, map of like, so when you, and the reason some people are like, oh my gosh, I've never even thought of those numbers, or that seems so overwhelming. It's not to make you feel like you're never going to get there or that's so far away. It's right. More like, for instance, a little short story. When I wanted this deadlift and I wanted to deadlift 300 pounds, I'm like, oh my God, I don't know anyone who could deadlift 300 pounds. If I deadlift 300 pounds, I'm going to mic drop and quit fitness. That was like literally what I said. I was like, I will be the baddest bitch on the block and I'm going to like mic drop and quit fitness. I've arrived.
Right.
And I met Louis Simmons. I went out to West Side Barbell and met Louis Simmons, who's a power lifter.
I know. Classic.
Legend.
Oh my God.
So I'm walking into the gym with him at 4:45 in the morning because he invited me to come train. I was there with Bobby, but I was standing in the corner just like, I'm at West Side. I'm like I was just so stoked. And he walked in. Oh, he was like, you want to train in the morning with the girls? You know, 4:45. So then I was like, oh yeah, I'll be there, you know. And I showed up and we were walking to the gym. He's like, so what are your goals? And I'm like, I just really want a 300-pound deadlift. And he looked at me and he goes, I have track athletes that are half your size deadlifting 4. Yes, sir. Oh, shit. Okay. Yes, sir. And so there, that right at that moment, my deadlift went from 300 to 400.
Yeah.
I was already on 400 and I hadn't even done 300 yet. The point of the story is when I walked up to 300 at 315, instead of being like, it's so heavy. I was like, 400 pounds. You're going to pick this up like it's nothing.
Yep.
Like this needs to become routine. And I walked up to the bar instead of being afraid of it. And instead of being all in my head about it, I was like, this is just what you're doing. And I did it. And, you know, and as a weight just kept going up and up and up. And so that's that governor, that ceiling that we give ourselves where it's like, right. I'm now deadlifting 450 pounds. Right. And so just looking at that progress, it's, we put these, and who's to say I can't do 5? Who's to say I can't do 550? Right.
Right.
Unless you take that lid off, unless you take that ceiling off, it's kind of like the 5-minute mile and, you know, no one could do it. Now high school athletes are doing it.
Yeah.
Right. We have these self governors. We have these things we think I could never do that until your neighbor Sally does it. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I guess if Sally's doing it, I can do it.
Yeah.
Right. So I just feel like it's so much of the time as women, we get caught in this. We're all seeing fitness influencers put bands around their knees and do hip thrusters. And we're like, I guess that's the way. And it's like, you know, I've got girlfriends, and I'm sure that you have too, that are, one of them is a mommy influencer. She's a mommy trainer. She trains, you know, pre and postnatal and new moms to get their body back. She's never had children. Love her. I love her. And this isn't to take away her education or you know, any of that, her credentials. But she's never had children and she lifts weights like crazy. Doesn't post that, but she posts like her little, you know, like I'm in the gym and she does her little dances and she does her, you know, body weight stuff and puts her bands on and does her banded stuff. And those are her workouts that she's promoting to women to get their bodies back after pregnancy and, or like, you know, in that phase of life. And I'm like, first of all, you're in your 20s. You've never had children.
Right.
And I see you at the damn gym. You're deadlifting 225 and doing pull-ups. Like, where's that information?
Yeah.
But you're selling your body as if that's what you do. Around
right.
And you do banded workouts. I'm like, that's not at all what you do. So right. There's a lot of that. And I think that we get inundated with that thinking that like, oh, that's how these women are getting their bodies. And it's not.
True. Yeah, no. And there's a lot of that in the social media space, like you said, of, you know, do this, do that workout. I saw one guy, I was like, all you got to do is lunges. I'm like, yeah, no, probably not. But yeah. But that's why we need, if someone in your life, like Louis Simmons, isn't speaking to you, breaking that mental barrier, then you at least need to be listening to women like yourself that say, no, I've trained enough ladies out there to know that what you think you can do, 10X that, it really is beyond that. Now, listen, I get injuries or whatever that can hold you back in one area or another. And then you just work to your best ability. That kind of falls into the genetic capability. But, you know, again, Lisa, even if, okay, let's say your injury is your lower back, then PR a bicep curl or a shoulder press, you know, I mean,
thank you for saying that 100% because it is that victim. Yeah. I want to bring up something else really quick.
Yes.
I am so in love with this new generation of awareness that we all have right now of our bodies and minds. Everyone's like, oh, I realize that I have this anxiety disorder or I have this injury or we're being able to like label things and we're aware of these things. And that's freaking great. And I'm so proud of you. You're what now, a victim to your diagnosis for the rest of your life? Like, you are not a back injury. And by the way, one of my best clients, if you follow me, you know who Sloan Pittman is. She's a 6'1" goddess who has a herniated, like two or three herniated discs in her lower back. She was a swimmer in high school and college. She's a mega athlete, couldn't be for a little while. And she had the most traumatic childbirth I've ever heard of anyone having. Poor thing, tore inside and out, you know, uterine prolapse, you know, everything, every prolapse that you can have, poor thing. She is deadlifting. So what do? We deadlift off of blocks. We raise the bar up so she doesn't have to reach down to grab the bar. So she's being able to work certain muscles, A, to strengthen the weaknesses. That's how you stay injury free. Yep. But B, working around it, finding ways, and this is the word, work around, work through it, right? Mm-hmm. So whether it's depression, anxiety, you know, it doesn't mean you never show up for work the rest of your life. Right. You have to come up with skills to manage that, to keep managing your life. With fitness, you have a herniated disc, you have a pulled this or an injured that, you broke your wrist and you can't hold your wrist in certain positions. Figure it out. Figure out another way, because not strength training is not the answer. Right. Avoiding the stuff is not, no, again, yes, for certain things, there are certain movements that you never have to do again. Like certain people who have bad knees or bad hips, you don't ever have to squat again. That's fine. There's a lot of other things you can do, but do those other things. Like you're saying, bicep curls, but even leg press, leg extension, hamstring curls, like go on and don't just half-ass them. Do them hard and build that stuff up. Like my shoulder, my right shoulder shouldn't even be attached to my body right now. It's like torn every which way. And it's, if you can put it in and out of the socket, if someone just pulls my arm down, like gently, it comes out of the socket completely. And if you grab the bone, you can pull it in and out, frontward and backwards and side to side. Okay. So the surgeon was like, don't ever bench press again. And I'm like, well, that's never going to happen. And also he goes, well, the other thing too, is he goes, well, how are you here? So I'm like, you know, my bench is 190, whatever. And the shirt 325, 350. Yep. And he's like, how are you doing that? And I'm like, I'm training it. He's like, oh, well, you shouldn't do that anymore. I go, why? So it falls apart. Like what? Having muscle mass around the joint is what's keeping my arm capable and like healthy. I don't have any shoulder pain. I have zero shoulder pain. I don't have any problems with my shoulder. I pick up my kids. I do, you know, I can do everything with it. It causes me zero issues. Like, I don't know how you don't have issues. Like, I have none. Like, besides getting my shoulder will actually sometimes slide out of the socket in the bottom of a bench when I'm using my shirt. And so I can't lock it all the way out. I'm like, it's like a technical powerlifting specific issue. Right. But like, other than that, I don't have an issue with my shoulder. So like, I know, just stop doing the thing. Stop doing the thing that keeps it healthy. And so, you know, I love that we're finding, you know, injuries and we're able to diagnose, we're able to find things and figure out all of these things with our body. But like, the workarounds are there's so many, especially now with gyms, how equipped, we have so much cool ass equipment in gyms. From single arm, single leg pressing and pulling and all that. I'm like, we have so many workarounds.
Well, we probably have too much, because then people are getting on the Pelotons and they're doing the bands and they're doing the battle ropes, which are super cool. But again, you need to lift the weights, like just good old fashioned dumbbells and barbells are at the core of every workout. And then, if you want to throw in, listen, I love like a single bicep curl. It really lets me focus. Love that machine. But at the end of the day, I'm also going to be picking up the dumbbells and curling them, because that's and most people don't know this because I don't talk about this a lot on the podcast, but I had two surgeries, one when I was 11, one when I was 14 for scoliosis. They put the rods in and they took them out at 14. I have 17 fusions and my spine is literally in the shape of an S. Now, to look at me, you wouldn't know. I'm shorter than I'm supposed to be. I really should be 5'4". I'm kind of pissed about that. But that has never stopped me. So my max deadlift was 315. No, I didn't push beyond that just based on my frame and my back. But I was like, fuck yeah, that was my absolute goal. And I celebrated the shit out of it when I hit it. And it never stopped me. I never used my injury or my back as an excuse.
Yeah. I have the same thing. I have a hard right. So I have like major scoliosis. Like my rib is almost touching my hip. Yeah. Like,
yes. Really. Yes. Mine too. Mm-hmm. I know. I just want to waistline, Lisa.
Tell me about it. I'm like really, like, it's like really, it's like, I'm like this. I'm like, like a side leaning tree. And everyone's like, again, chiropractors are like, you know, actually I have really supportive chiropractic care. They're like, keep doing what you're doing. Like the fact that you are doing what you're doing, just keep doing what you're doing. I have no pain in it. And so, cause I build it, I'm like, I do good mornings and I do, you know, all the back work. But I, like you said, it's never kept me back. Like I don't, it's not an excuse to like not do stuff. And I feel like those people who again, use those things as crutches or as excuses, it's just like, you know, no wonder you're falling apart.
Yeah.
Cause you need to be strong enough. And that's not saying this is a fact, but that's probably why you are pain free. I mean, you're being having a 315 pound deadlift is something to be damn proud of. And it's super, super impressive. And so it's like, hell yeah. Like that is, and once you have that strength, you never lose it. That's the cool thing about strength training is the fact that like you will always have a 250 pound deadlift any day you want to.
Yeah.
Like you can, you'll go up and pay 200 pounds will never be a big deal to you because you have built that strength. And so that it's also something that lasts forever. Like if you take a week off of running, you feel it. You take a week off of strength training, that when you build that strength, when you build it, it takes a long time. When you build it, you have it forever.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if you've ever had to take take off or like a surgery or something like that, but it, I mean, it messes with you.
Your kids. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, mentally you're a wreck, but physically, when you get back, you're like, it might be one or two workouts and you're right back to where you were. It's amazing how the body responds.
I had two C-sections. First one, I was doing cardiovascular, you know, running, cross training. Postpartum, 6 months to get my pull up. It took me 4 months to get my push up. And like my strength training, it took me 6 to 8 months to get back on track. Mm-hmm. Second pregnancy, I was powerlifting. I was actually deadlifting 300 pounds my entire pregnancy. I was benching a plate my entire pregnancy. It was like the two things that I wanted to do. I was squatting 250 my entire pregnancy. I have videos of all of it. It's amazing. Postpartum, I didn't do pull-ups. The pull-ups really strained my abs. And that caused that diastasis really bad. I laid off a pull. But laying off a pull-ups and just doing that pull-downs and bent over row work, laying off pull-ups, I was doing a pull-up 6 weeks postpartum. When I got like the green light to go, I was like, all right, let me see if I got my pull-up. Was able to do a pull-up. Last time took me 6 months. So the difference in training, so if anyone's like, I wonder which one's better. I'm like, well, again, I'm not everybody, but anecdotally, right? And anyone that I have worked with, I've worked with 6 women one-on-one during their pregnancies in my gym, like over the past 2-3 years. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them that done strength training had a better birthing and postpartum experience with strength training specifically versus the cardiovascular stuff. So I'm like, you know, I just, even having to take, you have to take the last 2 or 3 weeks of pregnancy off. I mean, you just get so big, you're so uncomfortable. Like the last 2 weeks I didn't train and you can't do anything after a C-section. I mean, I, you know, it's just for 6 weeks. Yeah. So, you know, that's a major trauma. And to be able to hold on to that, I mean, I think I deadlifted 300 again postpartum, I don't know, 5 weeks, 5 weeks after I got the okay. It took me about 5-6 weeks to build it back up. That's not bad. That's not bad for a major surgery and like growing a human, you know? And so it's just, I'm just, again, if there's like one thing that you can encourage women, again, especially as we get older, you know, which modality you want to fade into, it's like that strength training stuff. You just can't, not, don't stop doing the other stuff. But if you're not strength training 3 to 4 days a week, at least three, mm-hmm. at least 3 days a week, 4 is ideal. I just, you know, I'm like, you're just doing yourself a disservice. You're missing out on this really awesome body transformation, hormone transformation, health. I mean, it's just bone health, osteoporosis, being physically capable. And again, loving your body. That's what really changed my relationship with my body from an emotional standpoint was feeling physically capable instead of looking at myself and hating, you know, how I look. I don't this or I hate that part. Now I just look at myself as a whole and I'm like, you know, thank you, body, for showing up for me and like doing this badass shit in the gym, you know? And so it creates more of a loving relationship with yourself.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now the ladies listening, they're probably thinking as well, I would really like it if you could just tell me what to do, Lisa, and lay out a program for me. So you do that and you have an app. So can you get into how you work with people? Obviously, if they're in your area, they can do one-on-one, but you can do one-on-one virtually too?
Yes. Okay. So I totally do that. I will do like a Zoom calls and we go over all sorts of like lifting. Anyone out there who's ever done anything in the gym, like, am I doing this right? Mm-hmm. Like, I hate that feeling. It's the worst feeling. So I do video. I'll do a Zoom call, but B, I'll have them video their training sessions and send them to me. Mm-hmm. And so we'll work through like, hey, I'm noticing your knees. I'm noticing your feet. I'm noticing your wrist. You need to get your head in alignment. So I will coach virtually or via video. I do one-on-one stuff like that. And then I also have an app which is a 3-week repeating back to that like repetition, right? And it's a beginner's strength training program. So it's for someone who is interested in strength training, who wants to just learn how to get into the gym and do upper body workouts, do lower body workouts. All the how-to videos are by me and they're all very descriptive. And so they're not just like a silent video of me bench pressing. It's like, this is how you need to hold the dumbbells. This is how you need to get your back in place. This is where your dumbbells need to be, you know, when you're pressing out and locking out, you need to lock your elbows out. You should feel this here. So I have all of those how-to videos. Strength train your core, which is essential for lifting weights. And so I have all of that in my app. So I work all of it through my app. So it's really easy to use and it has all the how-to videos. And I have different tiers, different levels of one-on-one custom programming and your Maximus Strong, which is your intro level to strength training. And again, someone who's like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm following different people on Instagram. It's all, none of it makes sense. This is a streamlined, do this, you know, on day one, do this on day two. And the app also has things to swap, which I think is really cool. So if you don't have that piece of equipment or that body part's hurting, you just hit swap and it switches things out.
So, oh, that is it. So cool. I love that.
Yeah, it's love good. That. We're getting fancy with our apps.
Oh, I like it. I like it. Well, so where can people find you and connect with you, get the app, work with you directly, all of it?
Yes. So if you go to my Instagram, which is at Lisa Maximus, it's all in my bio link. So it'll take you to like my programs. I have a free week. So if you want a free no gear workout, download that. That's no strings attached. It's awesome. And so especially if anyone's traveling in the summer, take that with you. And so you can DM me if you have questions, if you don't know if it's for you, send me a DM. I answer those every single day and I can help direct you what, based on your goals or what you're looking for, what the best fit would be for you. And email, obviously, lisa@lisamaximus.com. So I'm there too, always.
You're so personable. Like, I mean, most people at your level would not offer for the public to DM them to find out the best. So guys, if you're listening to this, ladies, if you're listening to this, this is another level, honestly. This is a whole nother level of personalized care and workouts and the whole deal. So I would definitely take Lisa up on this. We're going to put everything in the show notes, of course, but I think that's amazing. I think that's just amazing that you Thank offer you. That. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm such a geek. Like I geek out. I love this stuff so much. And when I started strength training as a woman in the gym, it was really hard to to be not intimidated, to find someone who spoke your level and you didn't feel embarrassed to ask questions to. And you know, and this stuff is new. It's intimidating. So it is. I'm like, and I just want to empower women to lift weight. I'm like, let's lift heavy shit. Like, let's go. Like, let's get rid of the self-governor and let's go. So
that's it.
Helping.
That's it, girl. You nailed it. So we didn't even get into nutrition. We'll bring you back on, do a deep dive there. There's so much on the training aspect. This was golden. So yeah, thank you.
We can go on twice as long with nutrition. So
absolutely. We'll do it again. But thank you so much for your time today. I greatly appreciate it.
Can I just say thank you for everything you've ever done for me? Like I can't enough with you. I am obsessed and you are brilliant. And just keep, please, like, if anyone out there, like, you've helped me, so I'll cry. Like, you've helped me so much that I like don't even know how to thank you back. Like you are life changing. So thank you for giving me my life back.
I love you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.